Canada's chief intelligence officer expressed significant alarm over a court verdict asserting IP addresses are shielded against undue searches.
Ex-Premier François Legault warned of a possible referendum should the federal authorities fail to curb the influx of temporary immigrants to the province.
At British Columbia's most progressive prison, taxpayer dollars support DEI efforts, including culturally tailored meals, discussions on toxic masculinity, and a magazine focused on intersectionality. Hello, Canada. It's Thursday, April 11th, and this is the True North Daily Brief. I'm Cosmin Jirja.
And I'm Isaac Lamoureux.
We've got you covered with all the news you need to know. Let's discuss the top stories of the day and the True North exclusives you won't hear anywhere else. The director of Canada's top spy agency says he was very concerned by a recent court decision that ruled IP addresses are protected from unreasonable search and seizure. While speaking to the Public Safety Committee about extremism on March 21st, CSIS Director David Vigneault said the intelligence agency was concerned by the Supreme Court's finding in its Bickovitz decision earlier this year, which found that IP addresses were protected under Section 8 of the Charter. True North reached out to CSIS for comment concerning Vigneault's comments and to ask whether the agency has sought judicial authorization for IPs since the ruling, but the agency refused to respond. The Supreme Court of Canada made the landmark ruling on March 1st. The case centered around an online fraud scheme involving a liquor store where police contacted a third-party payment processor to obtain the IP address of the suspect. Initial judgments at lower courts found that Section 8 of the Charter, which protects Canadians from unreasonable search or seizure and offers a reasonable expectation of privacy, did not apply to IP addresses. However, the majority Supreme Court judgment, supported by 5 and opposed by 4 justices, overturned the Court of Appeals decision. According to the Supreme Court, Canadians have a reasonable expectation that the privacy of their IP addresses would be respected, since Section 8 also protects informational privacy. So, Isaac, as I watched this committee meeting, I was really shocked when Vigneault made these statements, because why would a intelligence agency be upset or concerned about following the law? And it made me wonder, should Canadians be worried that the head of Canada's top intelligence agency is upset that their privacy rights were upheld by the Supreme Court?
Yeah, Cosmin, I'd say that Canadians should be very worried when a person of a quality and stature high enough to have earned being the head of Canada's intelligence agency says that Canadians may have had their privacy rights infringed on. And it should go without saying, in my mind, that privacy regarding unreasonable search or seizure would apply to IP addresses. This is a digital identification, as your IP address is what ties your home address to everything you do online, unless you're using a proxy or VPN to mask your IP address, as I'm sure many Canadians have dabbled with to bypass Bill C-11's restrictions on Canadian content. On the bright side, while a lower court may have made initially poor ruling, the Supreme Court ruled on this case correctly, in my opinion. I don't think that this is the first time this has happened where a lower court gets a case wrong, but the Supreme Court saves the day with the correct ruling. And I just hope that in Canada's justice system, the Supreme Court can remain honorable and rule correctly on cases that may have had an initial inaccurate ruling. Quebec Premier François Legault threatened to hold a referendum if the federal government did not take steps to reduce the number of temporary immigrants entering the province. During a press conference on Tuesday, Legault told reporters that while it wasn't likely to happen in the short term, a referendum could be an option if the influx of temporary immigrants coming to Quebec wasn't dealt with. Do we hold a referendum on this eventually? Do we do it more broadly on other subjects? It will depend on the results of the discussions, Legault said at the legislature. He had called for his province to attain full powers over who would be allowed to immigrate to the province last month. However, Prime Minister Justin Trudeau rejected the Premier's demands. The Premier did confirm that during their last meeting in March, Trudeau displayed a great deal of openness to the idea of Quebec gaining additional authority over other matters related to immigration. Legault said he's representing the opinions of the majority of Quebecers who feel that taking in 560,000 temporary immigrants is too high of a number and is straining Quebec's social services and housing. What I want to tell Mr. Trudeau is that the majority of Quebecers think that 560,000 temporary immigrants is too much, he said. It's hurting our healthcare system. We don't have enough teachers, we don't have enough housing, so we really need to have some results. Mr. Trudeau finally said, yes, it was too much. It's the first time he's saying that, so we expect in the next meeting that he promised me for no later than June 30th would he come with results, added Legault. Cosman, this isn't the first time that Quebec has used the threat of a referendum as a means to get its way. How serious is the Legault government? Will Quebec do another referendum?
To be honest, I think a referendum on immigration is a great idea. It should happen nationally, if you ask me, because if you look at the polls, most Canadians oppose raising the immigration levels, and they think that the current levels should be lowered. And the government hasn't shown any will to do it themselves, so the practice of direct democracy, which I think a referendum is a perfect example of, might be just what it takes to get the government to roll back some of these record high levels. Culturally sensitive food venting sessions about toxic masculinity and a magazine about intersectionality are among the many DEI initiative taxpayers are funding at British Columbia's wokest prison. Prisoners at William Head Institute in Metchison, BC, have the opportunity to create mandalas, vent about how they're victims of intergenerational trauma, and join the ethnocultural book club, all in the name of restorative justice. The Correctional Service of Canada is committed to diversity, equity, and inclusion in its operations. The department's media relations spokesperson, Lucinda Fraser, told True North. At William Head Institution, there are a number of initiatives which include partnerships with community partners which work to support these efforts, including an ethnocultural book club, an ethnocultural day of celebration, a Mandela workshop, as well as a food box program. The Correctional Service of Canada confirmed to True North that it spent approximately $57,000 on a series of group discussion sessions for federal prisoners to talk about racism, sexism, ableism, and microaggressions, among other topics. This was done in order to promote safer communities by providing inmates with a greater understanding of important issues and further preparing them for potential release into the community when it is safe to do so. A core component of the DEI programming was the Intersections magazine, which the prison runs in partnership with the Nanaimo African Heritage Society. Prisoners from other federal institutions also took part in contributing to the publication. One inmate who goes by the pseudonym Tamrat wrote of the prison's education bulletins on slavery in Canada. He said they showed how fortunate we are to be residing in such a progressive correctional institution, in an institution where diversity is actively promoted, in an institution that fosters a living environment conducive to minority well-being, and in an institution that walks the talks of inclusivity by candidly acknowledging even the not-so-glamorous truth in our history. Tamrat called William Head a mecca for diversity and inclusion. So just some background on William Head Institution. It is a minimum security prison, and nearly 50% of the inmates serving time there are sentenced to life, including for crimes like murder. And they've actually had breakouts before where inmates have left the prison without permission and actually even gone to kill people. So it really concerned me when I came across this story, and it was just incidentally, I was looking through some stuff and realized that there was all of these progressive DEI woke initiatives that taxpayers were funding for inmates, and they were being treated better than, some Canadians have access to, and even our veterans. Isaac, is this the right way to rehabilitate criminals? Can they actually benefit from these DEI measures?
Yeah, Cosman, I just want to start by saying that I'm very surprised any convicted criminal would be receptive to DEI measures. To me, it just doesn't seem like their cup of tea. Look, the main purpose of prison is to rehabilitate criminal offenders so that they can reintegrate into society and become a better version of the person they once were, which is hopefully a law-abiding one. And I don't feel that DEI initiatives are going to be the best way to accomplish that goal. Many DEI initiatives, like those that center around racism, sexism, and other topics, simply put, encourage participants to adopt the mindset of a victim. Coming out of prison, and I've seen personal close friends go through this process, you're already going to have immense issues adapting to your new life. It will be harder to find a job, for example. And I don't believe that having prisoners adopt a victim mindset will be a healthy measure or help them in any way, shape, or form with adapting to the new lifestyle and its many challenges. Prisoners can be reformed, and I believe that one of the best ways to do this is actually through education. So, for example, allowing prisoners to take classes or read books as if they were a student would be the best way to rehabilitate them for the future, in my opinion. Imagine going to a prison for a few years, taking some sort of classes and reading a bunch of books about a certain topic, let's say finance, for example. During the time period of your imprisonment, you could realistically become an expert in any given field if you put your mind to it and were allotted the appropriate resources. In my opinion, these newfound skills would better serve prisoners for their future lives than some DEI initiatives. Cosman, do you think there are better ways to rehabilitate criminals?
Well, for sure, I think this is tantamount to a brainwashing program. And it is kind of weird to think about that these inmates, hardened criminals who, have murdered people and done all sorts of awful things, and they're going into these woke critical race theory sessions and venting about things like microaggressions. It's hard to imagine, but apparently it is happening. And a lot of them seem to be very receptive to it. When you go through this magazine, they're writing like entire essays about Black Lives Matter and gender theory and how, you could be gender fluid and you don't necessarily have to identify as male or female. So I honestly think this is a waste of time. I don't think this is going to reform these individuals by the time they get out, if they do in fact get out. And there are plenty of ways we could spend money that would be more conducive to better rehabilitation strategies, including things just like community service. We can get these prisoners to actually produce things for the community and people in need instead of wasting their time on silly little things like this. That's it for today, folks. Make sure to check in at www.tnc.news throughout the day for all the news you need to know. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget to share our work with your friends and neighbors. And if able, please consider supporting independent media at donate.tnc.news.